Welcome to our continuing audiocast series from IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. David Gwynn is a retired TWA captain with 15,000 flight hours, 15 pilot certificates, and 5 instructor certificates. He spent 11 years in the TWA Pilot Training Center developing courses and teaching in classrooms and simulators. Dave is an expert on the topic of radar and weather avoidance and has taught pilots on 4 continents and 12 countries. His fast-moving, humorous, and practical seminars have been applauded for 2 decades. Glenn Pugh got a chance to sit and talk with Dave about pilots and weather radar for IFR Magazine. Have a listen.
Dave, if you would, briefly describe, what's the mission of radar?
Well, ideally, the mission of radar would be to keep the airplane dry, but that's not probable. So it's understanding that you have a radar that illuminates and depicts hazards that you want to avoid. With a good pre-flight briefing, a convective outlook, radar should be finding for you what you expected to find and should not be popping up surprises.
Well, what is it you feel that pilots don't know about radar that they should know?
Well, primarily, they don't realize that their radar is calibrated to stratus rainfall rates. So you're making convective decisions with a stratus rainfall rate radar. And that's why we never should have called radar returns level 1, level 2, and level 3, because with stratus rain, you can get red at 1/2 inch per hour. And what we should have designated those returns is convective yellow, convective red. However, a magenta or purple is 2 inches of rainfall per hour, and stratus rain can never produce that.
When we have such a lack of organized training, why do you think that we haven't had more weather and radar-related accidents?
Well, that reminds me of the Swiss Air pilot in Zurich who told me, when I look at my radar, I feel like a puppy dog looking at television. I see it, but I just don't understand it. And pilots are conservative people. When they see things that they don't understand, they simply avoid it. But that does not maximize the use of radar or the economy of the airplane.
In a nutshell, what does a pilot need to understand about how radar works and why?
Well, he doesn't really have to understand how it works. He has to understand what it means. But it works in 2 ways. Very high-powered radars like National Weather Service and L-band radar in the center. And by the way, the center always did produce weather returns. They're just not well understood. But very high-powered radars operate on the principle of boundary resistance, how much resistance we have pushing RF energy through the rain or the water. Our radar, which is X-band radar with a very small wavelength, operates by turning raindrops into miniature transmitters. We actually trade energy with raindrops and they transmit. And what we receive is our portion of that omnidirectional discharging of that raindrop, because everything in nature seeks equilibrium. So a charged raindrop doesn't want to be a charged raindrop. The other thing they need to know is, since we're trading energy and we have a finite amount of energy, we have to understand when we're out of energy, which is what we call attenuation. And what are those signatures that indicate to you what you're not seeing? In other words, don't trust weather behind weather, and don't trust the absence of weather as seen through weather, because we do not have a penetration radar. There is no airborne radar that is a penetration radar.
A lot of pilots, I think, are familiar with NEXRAD. What are the most important factors for a pilot to take into account making pre-flight planning decisions using NEXRAD?
In pre-flight planning, we always have to refer to the convective outlook and even the weather channel. And I think one of the big problems with the weather channel and NEXRAD is understanding what that multiplicity of colors mean. Now, if you would go to my website, www.davegwynn.com, G-W-I-N-N.com, I have on there a tab for radar that prints out Airborne, National Weather Service, and NEXRAD. And you can see that there's quite a bit of difference between what yellow means on Airborne and what yellow means on NEXRAD, or what yellow means on the Weather Channel. And understanding those color differences is critical to even any NEXRAD display.
Do you think that the understanding colors really brings out the largest misconceptions about using NEXRAD for radar flight planning?
I do, because NEXRAD starts with the color blue, and it can't be anything more attractive than the color blue. And then it steps up to green, and there would imply to be nothing wrong with green, but there is. And understanding what these colors mean is very disconcerting if you've made the wrong decision and find yourself surrounded by convective weather.
Well, so what about using NexRad for weather avoidance in the cockpit? How would you suggest a pilot goes about that?
Well, NexRad in the cockpit, and let's talk first about the non-radar equipped pilot. NexRad in the cockpit is an outstanding strategic tool. Let's also understand that it is 6 to 10 minutes in updating. Now, the storm that took Delta 191 out of the air was level 1 at 1752 and was level 4 at 43,000 feet 8 minutes later. So that 6 to 10 minute update can allow some awfully explosive convection to take place. So you want to use NexRad at the furthest possible distance that it's available to you to really see those changes in weather that are taking place between those updates. And I've been having talks with air traffic controllers, and quite frankly, without casting aspersions, they have not been trained well on NexRad.
Hmm. Well, you write, when you're out of green, you're out of go. What does that mean exactly?
Well, that's right. And once again, referring to that chart on my website, I think that you will find if the entire terminal area from which you're departing or arriving is surrounded by green, as you look at those charts, green for a general aviation pilot, the last green level, that is, for a general aviation pilot is the top of level 2, or convective yellow weather, and for even professional aviators, the top of green, or that last color green, has got you into level 4, or convective red weather. So, you see, green would imply to me light rain, by the way we've taught radar, but in fact it's not. It's very severe rain.
Mm. Well, suppose, let's take a real-world example. Suppose I'm flying a Piper Malibu with a small wing-mounted radar pod. Describe the steps for using this airborne radar on a short flight with convective activity in the area.
I've done that, and the problem with our wing-mounted pods, as opposed to corporate and airline radars, is that they are not stabilized. And that means that every change of pitch that you make with the airplane, you're also making a change of pitch with the radar. So if the airplane pitches up 2 degrees, the center of the beam went up 2 degrees as well. My advice in that case is to make your decisions at the furthest possible distance before you enter any convective turbulence. I flew with a pilot with that exact radar installation, and I was reading in back of this corporate turboprop, and he asked me to come up and help him with the radar. Well, by the time I got up there, he was so close to the convective weather that the radar picture was changing so violently and so consistently that I said, my friend, I can't even help you. I can't get a radar picture to even interpret. Every sweep is a different picture. And it's because we're in turbulence, and you do not have a stabilized antenna.
That's interesting. Well, presuming you have both Datalink NexRad and airborne radar in the cockpit, how would you go about using both together?
I would use onboard radar for my tactical decisions. I would use NexRad radar for my strategic decisions. And I would also begin to learn what is displayed on the controller's radar scope. They still do have the slashes and the H's. And those slashes and H's are real-time information. Now, that's called Weather 1, Weather 2, and Weather 3 keys. And I have used them to great advantage. But we have a problem there. And the problem is that the controllers have been advised through their bulletin 7110-76B, that the H may be only moderate rain, but on the other hand, it may be severe. So consequently, they are told to treat an H as a worst-case scenario. Well, worst-case scenario is level 6 thunderstorm. I think over the years that probably some arrogant or rather harsh airline captains were given advice by controllers that seeing the H's, I see you heading toward the heaviest part of the storm, and whereby the captain responded, that's only level 2 weather. What do you mean by a thunderstorm? When I want your advice, I'll ask for it. Consequently, through our centers, the word went through, their radar's better than ours. Not true. They don't want our help. Not true. They just don't understand our help. And I had 7 Indy controllers in one of my seminars in Indianapolis. All 7 of them had never seen 7110-76B. All 7 had never been trained on the slashes and the H's on their display. All 7 had been told that airborne radar was far better than their piercing, penetrating radar that is of such help to airline pilots and any pilot.
Well, what would you recommend that a pilot do, if anything, to try and avail himself of that information, to try and make himself more understanding of what the controllers are working with?
Well, I had a departure from St. Louis once in a MD-80, and I mean, we had thunder bumpers everywhere, and I had radar. And I said, Center, please push your weather 3 key and advise me about the H's. He says, TWA, they took all that out. That doesn't work anymore. And I said, you don't have a weather 1-2-3 key? And he said, no, they took all that out. I said, all right, then I'll do it for myself. But before I do, I want your sign on initials. And the next voice I heard was the supervisor saying, TWA, what's the problem? And I said, I need your help. And he guided us spectacularly around all of the H buildups. And before I took the handoff frequency, I said, what was that conversation all about that you took that display out of there? And he said, I do apologize, and it won't happen again. But you see, they don't understand that. I heard American in front of me one time ask for weather information from the center. And he said, American, we don't paint any weather. And that irritated me so much that right behind him, I said, Center, I'd like for you to push your weather 1 and weather 2 keys and tell me about the slashes and the H's ahead on my route, which he did. And you should have heard American read him the riot act.
Well, so what can your average pilot do while he's airborne to best use the information available to the controllers on the ground?
Well, I think the very best thing to do is for me to write another article for IFR Magazine and explain this once again so that pilots do have the confidence that it works. I've been talking with Don Brown, who writes for AvWeb. And Don agrees with me fully and sent me pictures of both NextRad with the slashes and the H's superimposed over the NextRad. So it is, in fact, available. And if you don't have uplink NextRad for strategic value and you don't have a radar, my friends, the very best thing you've got is the slashes and the H's. And you'll want to be kept out of them. And I will include the excerpts from 7110-76B, which is the instructions for them how to use that. It is available. It is there. It is real time. It is very penetrating. And it's the best information for you if you don't have radar and or don't have a NextRad uplink.
Is there specific verbiage a pilot should use when requesting that information?
Yes. And it's just simply this. Would you push your weather 1 or your weather 3 key? Weather 3 displays both the slashes and the H's. Would you push your weather 3 key and talk to me about the slashes and the H's on my route? And I did a segment for this for Wide World of Flying Video magazine that was shown quite often on Speed Vision television, although I had dark hair back then. But I would be happy to run off some copies of that for some minimal price if somebody wants it. Write to me at DaveGuinn@AOL.com. And it's actually the panels and the pictures where you can see where they are and you can see what it looks like. And I filmed that in the New York Center in their dynamic training room. Now, they had three quality controllers standing behind that camera, because if I said anything that committed them to a responsibility, or I said anything wrong, they were going to stop that videotaping in a minute. And they did not. And I discussed the slashes and the H's.
Well, let's get back into the very real world. Were there any times that your radar led you to make a bad decision? And what happened?
My Lord, Glenn, I'm an airline captain, an aerial god. How could I make a bad decision?
Perhaps your co-pilot made a bad decision while you were in the bathroom.
I'll tell you what, no matter what a seat I was in, the other two were idiots. But in terms of a decision, yes, I really did make one, and one only, because a lot of times I avoided, so there was no decision. But I wanted to penetrate a squall line, and using all the radar techniques like ground painting and getting some slashes and some H's and all that, I had an area that was a saddleback or an opening in that squall line that I thought would be penetratable with just perhaps moderate turbulence. Well, Mother Nature is very unpredictable, and we know that turbulence above a storm, and perhaps even a low storm, can top that storm by 10 to 15,000 feet. And once I was committed to that penetration, I'm going to tell you it was severe turbulence. As a matter of fact, I was so stunned and so shocked that I couldn't even think. It was my co-pilot that turned on the anti-ice and turned on the continuous ignition. I was absolutely floored that what to me was 100% operational turned into such a traumatic experience for, well, not only for me, because it was my decision, but what did I do to 150 people behind me?
Well, we've mentioned your website and you as a resource, and I'd like you to mention that website again in your response now. But what are some other resources for pilots on using radar that you'd recommend?
Oh, I'm a strong advocate of StormScope. The StormScope, you know, to be a thunderstorm, by definition, it must have thunder and lightning. And I wrote an article about now remember, your radar is calibrated to straightest rainfall rates. So a regional carrier was holding at the outer marker because the entire airport was covered with red. And a general aviation pilot with a StormScope came in there and said, well, yeah, that looks like a lot of rain, but I don't see any lightning strikes. And he went ahead and made the approach and said, hey, it was wet, but it wasn't wild. And then the regional, quote, professional pilots followed him in without incident. So the StormScope is an outstanding device if you don't have the money to install a radar. I'm a firm believer in the StormScope.
Well, and how about online or literary resources that a pilot could pick up to educate himself more on the subject?
Well, there is one book out there called Airborne Weather Radar, and I have to tell you, I will not endorse it for this reason. It is antiquated. It talks about older radars and not current radars. It has no terminal section. The terminal section was plagiarized from the FAA Windshear Training Aid Program and does not have radar techniques. And in the terminal area at low altitude, you are so tilt limited that that's where you need to know radar techniques the best in coming into a terminal area. And there are none in there. Now, I'm writing a book on that, and I'm setting up online radar courses. I'm trying to decide whether I want to do them live by teleconferencing or whether I want to record them. I haven't decided that yet, but I'm looking into several programs to do that, as well as writing a radar text. It's amazing that radar has been with us for 50 years, and yet I spent 24 years traveling around the world on four continents and 15 countries. And pilots were coming up to me, including, if you look at my website and look at the radar seminars at American Airlines, Czech Airmen said, I learned more about radar in one day than I did in 37 years of flying. About the only training we got as airline pilots was turn it on, warm it up, and the captain will tell you everything he knows. That's what he was told. And consequently, there was hand-me-down, word, myth, misunderstanding, and it was my belief somebody should understand radar. So I spent hundreds of hours talking with radar engineers and arguing that we don't want to talk about your decibels. We don't want to talk about your logarithms. I want a vocabulary that pilots can understand. And that was the beginning of radar seminars.
Well, all right. I really appreciate you taking the time out. Dave, we've got a lot of subject covered here, I think. And once again, the website where people can go to find out more is
www.DaveGwinn.com. And let me add one more thing. You will see my book there. It's in its fourth printing on humor and all the things that happened in 30 years of aviation. And if you are an IFR subscriber or if you are an aviation consumer subscriber, you will get a 20% discount on the book. The address is there. Send me, number one, a check, and send me, number two, a copy of the address or the back of your publication so that I know that you are, in fact, an AVWEB or IFR or aviation consumer and subscriber. So the address on that book's got to match the check. But I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy it. And I will give you a 20% discount, and the address is on that website.
Very well. Thank you very much, sir. We'll look forward to chatting in the future.
Oh, it's great to chat with you. And my email address is DaveGwinn@AOL.com. I get a lot of questions from pilots. I'm delighted to answer them. And I put on a bunch of material on ProPilot Forum on a one-hour chat, and I supplemented that with a lengthy document that our good people might want to go to that forum. It's only $10 for crying out loud, and it's superb. And you can gain a lot of radar information from that one-hour online chat, plus the supplemental data that I put in there.
Well, David, thank you very much for your time. Much appreciated, and hope we'll talk soon.
Hey, we're all in this world to help each other.
You've been listening to IFR's conversation with radar expert David Gwinn. To learn more about this and other topics important to instrument and accomplished pilots, subscribe to IFR Magazine. You can check it out online at www.ifr-magazine.com. Comments on this audiocast welcome at audionews@afweb.com. And for breaking aviation news, of course, log on to afweb.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.